Sales Fraud in the Horse Industry, Part 2. Hello, I'm Ken Anderson with Hoofbeat on Brownfield. On today's program, we'll continue our discussion with Julie Firshman, who is considered to be one of the nation's leading attorneys in the field of equine law. Last week, Firshman talked about things that sellers and buyers can do to protect their interests in an effort to avoid disputes and possibly lawsuits when buying or selling horses.
I think that the age of buyer beware is really in many respects over. And it might apply, for example, to an item of machinery where the buyer can look at it, determine what's broken, and find out that this isn't what they're buying. Not so easy with a horse, because sometimes their condition can be masked by medication. So the way I view it, if the buyer and the seller are aware of their rights, the seller doesn't represent anything that they can't back up, the buyer can evaluate what they're purchasing, they could have avoided in the process a legal dispute, and in the process as well had a smooth and mutually beneficial transaction.
Can you give me an example of maybe a recent case that you've worked on involving sales fraud?
I can. I represented the buyers in a case involving a horse. It was a horse less than $10,000, but they purchased the horse at a private sale. Interestingly, the sale happened to be at the site of an auction where the horse no-sailed. He didn't end up selling at the fall of the hammer. And what they didn't realize is that the horse wasn't at all what was represented. They discovered it, on the other hand, when they brought the horse home. Within about a day or two, this horse that was represented as a kid-safe horse, ready to show, all kinds of written statements about this horse, turned out to be actually a very dangerous horse who would charge people who approached him, try to kick out and lash out at people. He also had signs of lameness that they weren't aware of. They also discovered he really didn't have the training they thought. The suspicion, confirmed by a veterinarian, is that the horse had been drugged. It was an interesting case. We actually tried it all the way to court. We took it before the judge, and my clients not only won back their purchase price, and I think I mentioned it was less than $10,000, but they also won their attorney fees. And because we had to fight pretty hard on the case, legal fees were about three times the amount of the sale. They collected everything, but it wasn't easy to win. It wasn't easy because we had to prove what the sellers knew and what the sellers hid. And that involved some investigation. It involved testimony, and we pieced it together like a puzzle. And ultimately, it was a successful case for the buyers. Sales contracts, I think, are an absolute must for any equine transaction, such as a sale, lease, or other types of things. And those can be of special help to the buyer. The buyer, for example, can ask the seller to confirm in writing that the horse really hasn't been injured, ill, or lame, that the horse hasn't had any unusual, non-routine vet visits in the last year. All these things can be put in a written contract.
Julie Firshman, an attorney in the field of equine law. She's based in Farmington Hills, Michigan. And that's Hoofbeat on Brownfield, Ag News for America.